look at, it's more of a, I guess, a challenge for all of us, just going into the new year, just a couple things that we can look at from the life of Paul tonight, just to help us, you know, get refocused as a church and individually as believers as we head into this new year, just to keep our focus where it needs to be and to make sure that we stay faithful in this coming year. If I would entitle it, I would entitle it, None of These Things Move Me. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for this day. I thank you for this time where we can come and open your word again, Lord. I thank you for this church and all it's meant to many of us here. Lord, I pray you'll be with our pastor again this evening as he's traveling home soon. Bring him back to us safely. Lord, I pray that you'll just help us to make some decisions tonight or commit to some things, Lord, that would help us to remain faithful throughout this next year. Lord, it is our plea that nothing would move us from serving you and that we would be found faithful. Meet with us in a special way, Lord. Speak to all of our hearts. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Acts chapter 20. I'll start reading in verse 18. Acts 20. And of course, Paul is the human author of Acts. So Acts 20 and verse 18 says, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." So Paul is writing this, and Paul is on a journey, and he's heading back to Jerusalem. And his goal was to get back to Jerusalem by Pentecost. And so he's writing here to the church at Ephesus, but he didn't actually make his way back through Asia Minor, back to Ephesus, but rather had the leaders of the church meet him in Miletus as he was going towards Jerusalem. And he wanted to make it back to Pentecost because he knew that there'd be Israelites coming back to celebrate the feast, and there'd be a lot of people in Jerusalem that he could witness to. And that was his motive, and that was his goal. And so, you know, he was taking a journey, but not a lot of people looked down on him not going back to Asia because, you know, that was a church that he had helped to start and a church that, you know, he was very involved with, and they wanted to see Paul again, but he didn't pass through the church. And so he's making a journey, and, you know, Paul's going through a lot. There's a lot of things that are burdening Paul, a lot of people that are trying to discourage Paul and warn Paul of the things to come, but we know Paul had that attitude that none of these things move me. And, you know, going into the new year, into 2015, there's going to be some things that, you know, we don't know, like Paul says, we don't know what's going to befall us. We can't tell what the Lord has in store for us. I'd like to be able to stand up here and say that this will be the best year of all of our lives and that we'll be trouble-free, we'll make a lot of money, and we'll have financial success, and our families will be happy, and, you know, no death, no hardships, no pain. But unfortunately, we know that I can't say that. We wish that we could, but we can't. We don't know. And we don't understand all that God has in store for us. You know, the Bible says that his ways are above our ways. Even if we could see into the future, I don't think we would really understand the plan that God has for our life. But as we go to, as we take the steps into this new year, I think it's important for us to decide that no matter what does happen, none of those things will move us. And that no matter what we go through, no matter what trials or tribulations or unknowns we might face, that we will remain faithful to Christ and faithful to this church and faithful to his word and faithful to the things that he's committed unto us. So I want to look at just 4 points tonight about Paul and about just 4 characteristics that he had as he continued on his journey. So the first thing I want to look at is that he was burdened. He had a burden. We see this in verse 19 and 20. He says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." You see, he had a burden for not only this church at Ephesus, but he also had a burden for his own kinsfolk in Jerusalem. And, you know, he was heading back. He had this burden to go and to preach the gospel. You see, he had a burden while he was there in Ephesus, while he was starting the church and working with those believers. He said, "You know that I went house to house teaching all of you, and I taught publicly in the streets." And he said, I showed you the whole counsel of scriptures, and I taught you everything. And you could see his burden for the people come out. But, you know, now Paul had shifted his burden, and his burden was now to go to Jerusalem at Pentecost and to preach the gospel to new believers, or to get new converts and to hopefully have new believers. And you see, he followed his burden, even though, you know, he probably had emotional ties with the church. Those were his spiritual children. That was the church that he helped to start, and those were believers that he had invested in. He knew that God had placed a burden in his heart to go to Jerusalem. And although probably in his flesh and in his spirit he would like to go back and see his old friends and to check on the church and see how they were doing, pass back through Ephesus, you know, he knew that wasn't what God wanted him to do, and he knew that that wasn't the burden that he had. He was driven by the burden of souls. He had such an intense burden that it drove him to do that which was maybe less comfortable, that which caused criticism by others, that which maybe caused a rift between him and his friends or him and his other, you know, his church family. And as we go into 2015, we must focus on having a burden. Having a burden for those who are around us. I know we talked about that a lot this morning, but having a burden for the lost souls around us, that needs to be something that drives us, something that we focus on. You know, there are souls all around us who need the gospel, and we must be burdened, and that's something that can drive us and carry us through the new year. You know, sometimes we might like to just sit back and do what's comfortable to us. Maybe there was a job opportunity that you know that God doesn't want you to take, but maybe be more comfortable financially. You know, well, we need to have a burden like Paul that drives us to stay focused and drives us to be able to say, none of these things move me because I know the burden that God's given to me, and I am burdened for these people. You know, our pastor has been burdened for the people of Hamilton for over 30 years now, and he stayed faithful, and we need to stay faithful for him and for the calling that Christ has put on our lives. You know, there's two really good churches here in Hamilton, but there's still many, many people who have never heard. And even if they have heard, they've never accepted. And, you know, we should have a burden for those around us. And not only those around us, but those all across the world through our missions giving and our missions program. And we need to really focus on having a burden like Paul did. You know, you see how passionate he was. He said, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me." You know, see, his burden, he was passionate. He said many tears and temptations which befell him, but yet he kept that burden strong. And now you see he wasn't taken to the left or taken to the right, but he was focused on his burden. He knew that he needed to get to Jerusalem and that he needed to preach the gospel to the Israelites there at Jerusalem. So we see first his burden. The second thing I want to look at was that he was bound. And this is kind of one of the points I'd like to focus on tonight, is that, see, Paul says there, in verse 22, he says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." The reason Paul had this burden and the reason that he denied his flesh and denied that which was more comfortable was because he was bound by the Spirit. That word literally means, you know, contained or tied up. He was so grasped by the Holy Spirit and so grasped by the Spirit's working in his life, so sensitive to the Spirit's calling in his life, that he denied himself of that which was more comfortable and that which was seemingly right in the eyes of men, to follow his burden and to follow the Spirit. And if we're going to please the Lord this coming year, and if we're going to stay faithful and take a stand for him, we must be sensitive to the Spirit. Even I think of Peter as he gave a testimony tonight. You know, he said the Holy Spirit just wouldn't let me go, wouldn't let him come back up the mountain to church because he hadn't shared the gospel with that man there on the street. And that's the kind of sensitivity we need to have to the Spirit. And, you know, the Spirit works in different ways, and he may speak to you in different ways, but we need to have that sensitivity to the Spirit, that we could say that we're bound to the Spirit. Maybe, you know, there's many things in life that we could be bound to. We could be bound to our work, or we could even be bound to our family, or bound to sports, or bound to entertainment. But what a good testimony it would be to say that we were bound to the Spirit, that we were so in tune with the Holy Spirit, that we were entangled with it, we were tied, unable to get loose from the Spirit's control in our life. You know, when I looked at the word bound throughout the Bible, the most times it was used is being bound with fetters, somebody put in prison or someone captured. That's such an amazing thing, you know, that we would be captivated and captured by the Holy Spirit, that he would control our every movement, that we wouldn't be able to escape him. I think of even Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't mean that he will not, that he will always listen to the words of the scripture or listen to the training that you've given him, but it means that he will not be able to escape it. He will not be able to get away from the things that you've taught him. Even though he may not follow it, he will always know what's right and wrong, and he will never forget the things that you've taught him. He will not be able to escape, you know, the scriptures and the conviction. And oh, that it would be like that for in our lives and for us, as the Spirit would just, you know, captivate us and control us and convict us in such a way that we were bound to it. You know, in the Bible, Isaac was bound to the altar, and Joseph was bound in prison, and Samson was bound in fetters of brass. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound into the fiery furnace, but Paul was bound to the Spirit. And every time in those stories, those really famous stories in the Bible, it says that they were bound. And they were bound to die, most of them. But Paul, he was bound to the Spirit. And that's an amazing testimony. You know, with God's calling always comes God's enablement. And sometimes I think we get scared that we won't have the power to do it. You know, the Spirit will lay something on your heart. You know, you should witness to them. And we're too scared to do it. We don't think we have the ability, or we just don't think that we'll have the right words to say. But with God's calling always comes his enablement. If God's calling you to something greater this year, or even just something just that may seem routine, you know, don't let yourself get in the way of God using you. God will give you the strength to do that which he calls you to do. And so just trust the Spirit and be sensitive to the Spirit. So we see in this coming year we need to be burdened, but we also need to be bound. The next thing I want to see is that Paul was bent. He was bent. He was bent to serving God. You know, he was so committed to it that nothing would change him. You know, he was just dead set to serving God, that nothing would hinder him. We see the trials would not stop him, and the testing would not stop him. You know, verse 23, he says, I know nothing. Or verse 22, he says, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Basically, what he's saying there is, you know, as he's traveling, people are telling him, prophets, men who are under the conviction of the Holy Ghost are saying, you know, there's going to be bonds. There's going to be affliction. Paul, I can see that you're going to struggle there. If you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be thrown in prison. There's going to be people who are going to oppose you. And Paul says, I have no idea what's going to happen except the bad, basically. The only thing he knew that was going to happen is the affliction and the bonds that he would face. But he was so bent and just so set on serving God that nothing would stop him. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than the gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes we think that trials and testing in our life must be that, you know, we're going the wrong way, or God's trying to move us in a different direction, or God's trying to change our mind, or God's trying to, you know, teach us something or maybe punish us. But really, if you have testing in your life, it could be a sign that you're exactly where God wants you to be. You know, we know that God allows us to go through testing to grow us and to help us to become closer to him, and we know that. So just because we may face trials this year or testing or may go through things that are unpleasant, it doesn't mean we're not doing the will of the Father. It doesn't mean we're not exactly where he wants us to be. And we need to be like Paul, who said, you know, I know there's going to be tough things. I know I'm probably going to get thrown in prison. I know people are going to persecute me, but I'm going to there, and I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to take a stand for Christ. You know, he knew that tough times were in his future, but he was focused on finishing faithfully. He wasn't focused on the fear. You know, John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, we're in this world, we're not of the world. While we're here on earth, we're going to go through trials, we're going to face tribulation. We know that, that's from the Bible. But we also know that our Heavenly Father has overcome the world. So we need not be fearful, or we need not to be scared, but just have a heavenly perspective and know that God's already overcome this, and he'll help us to come through it. And so we also know that God doesn't tempt us above that we are able. You know, we see that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, he will not tempt us above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye will be able to bear it. You know, God knows how much you can handle. God's test, allowing this testing and trials to come into your life like he did with Job in the Bible. He knew that Job was an upright man and one who would follow him and be faithful. And so don't be like Job's friends and Job's wife and curse God and die, and don't turn away from him, but allow him to test you this year, and to take it like Paul would, and just trust him that, you know, he's trying to grow you. He's trying to grow you closer to him. But just know that they're going to come. But if we focus on him and we have the right motives and we have the right focus, then, you know, nothing can stop us, and nothing should be able to stop us from serving Christ. You see, Paul was motivated by he had pure motives in going to share the gospel, and he had a powerful ministry. Verse number 24 says, I count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish the course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. And you see, he had the perfect message to testify the gospel of grace. And, you know, we have that same ministry given to us, that same great commission, and we still have that same perfect message today, the message of salvation, the message of the gospel. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he died on the cross for the sins of the world. We still have that same perfect message, and we still serve the same Savior that Paul served. And if he was faithful to take care of Paul throughout his ministry, and Paul could trust on him despite the trials and the tribulations, we can do the same in our life. So we got to remember that we should be bent. You know, nothing can change us. Nothing should be able to hinder us from serving the Lord. Not the trials, not the tribulations, not the testing. Nothing should stop us. So we see we need to have a burden. And we see Paul was burdened, and we see that Paul was bound. We see he was bent. And last thing I want to look at tonight is that he was blameless. In verse number 25, it says, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Paul is telling the believers, he said, you know, I'm probably never going to see you again. He's telling those believers at Ephesus that he'd invested in, that he'd preached to, that he'd converted. He said, I'll probably never see you again. But Paul had the testimony that he could say, even though I'll never see you again, I know that I leave you blameless. I know that I shared the entire counsel of the scriptures with you. I know that, you know, basically he's saying, you know, he said, I'm pure from the blood of all men. He said, there's no blood on my hands. He said, I know that I have shared with you the gospel. And that's the testimony we should try to have this year in 2015, that we would be able to stand in front of our neighbors and stand in front of our coworkers, stand in front of those that we come in contact with and say, you know, I'm blameless. There's no blood on my hands. I've shared with you. I've tried to show you. I've tried to teach you the scriptures. I've tried to, you know, witness to you, and maybe we'll have some spiritual fruit. And we should be able to say, you know, that there's no blood on my hands. I'm blameless, and have that same testimony as Paul. So we see he had that blameless testimony. Philippians 2:15 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." You see, if we have that blameless testimony, we'll shine for Christ much, much greater than we ever could if we didn't keep that testimony like Paul did. And that's our goal here in Hamilton, is to shine, be a lighthouse, be a hospital for the sick and the broken, for them to see us and know that, you know, we have something that they need, and that we need that blameless testimony that Paul had. We see, I believe it's Matthew 6, it says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." So basically it's saying, you know, we're looking for the coming of Christ. We're looking for the coming of his new kingdom. But it says, you know, Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. You know, as we look forward to the end times, as we look forward to our King coming down and going up to heaven with him and spending eternity with him, and we should all be looking forward to that. You know, be diligent here on earth that we'd be found blameless, because, you know, we all want to sit one day at the feet of Christ and to hear him say, you know, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And that should be our goal, to be able to finish our course with joy, like Paul says, to be able to finish this year and look back and say, you know, I may not have had the greatest year. I may have, you know, struggled with some things, or I may have faced some trials. Maybe there were some deaths or some struggles. But to be able to stand and say, you know what, I was blameless, and I did that which what the Spirit told me to do. I was bound by the Spirit, and, you know, I was burdened for the souls around me, and I shared the gospel with them. I shared the whole counsel of the Scriptures with them, and I stand here today blameless. You know, I didn't let the trials stop me. I didn't let the tribulations that came hinder me, but I stand today blameless. And that should be our prayer as we go into this new year, that we'd be found blameless, that when we came to the end and we look back at all the things we did. I know it's been a big year for me. I graduated high school and worked at a church this summer and started college. It seems like I've barely blinked, and it's just been crazy. My life has completely changed this year, and I know that it's going to be like that for the next few years, but we should be able to look back over all the things we did this year and say, you know, I was blameless. I did my best. I served Christ. I gave him my all. And so I just wanted to look at the life of Paul tonight as we go into this new year and to apply it to our own lives and see how he, you know, see the steps that he took and see how he was able to be so faithful and so steadfast in the face of all the trouble. We need a passionate burden to see souls saved, and we need to be bound by the Spirit and sensitive to his leading. We need to be bent against distraction, determining that trials will not stop us, and we need to live blameless lives to not hinder the furthering of the gospel. So I don't know, you know, what we need to work on today. Maybe we need to be more burdened for those around us, you know. Definitely talked about that this morning and this evening. Or maybe we just need to be more sensitive to the Spirit's leading in our life and look for opportunities to be a witness. Or maybe there's some things in our life that we're allowing to distract us from serving Christ. Some trials or some tribulations we're going through that are just, you know, getting in the way of us really having that close relationship, or getting in the way of us doing what we know he wants us to do. Or maybe, you know, there's that person that we just haven't shared with yet, or that thing that we know we need to get taken care of in our own life, but we haven't done it. You know, may tonight be a night where we can get that taken care of, that we may go into 2015 having that blameless testimony, you know, get a good start, that we may see that throughout the whole year, you know, we were faithful to do that which we know we should have done, that we may finish the year and say, you know, but you know what, maybe the church grew, maybe it didn't, maybe we saw some people leave us, whether through death or whatever it might be, but we know that we were faithful and that we were blameless. You know, we did our very best to serve Christ. So I don't know if the Lord spoke to you tonight or what he's been working on your heart about, but I just pray that it'll be a help to us, that we would really focus on these things as we move into the new year. So let's have a word of prayer, and then Dad will come and close us in a song. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. We thank you for his steadfastness and his devotion, Lord, to serve you despite all the trials and the tribulations, Lord. And when we look at our own lives, you know, the things that we go through look so minuscule in the face of what he went through and in the face of what you went through here on earth, Lord. Lord, I pray you'll help us to have a burden, and I pray you'll help us to be bent against distraction, Lord, that nothing would hinder us. I pray you'll help us, Lord, to just be a blessing to all those around us, Lord. Help us to have a blameless testimony. Help this church to be a lighthouse for you in Hamilton, Lord. Speak to our hearts now. Help us to take care of everything that we need to tonight, that we leave here with nothing between our soul and the Savior, as the song says, Lord, that we'd enter into this new year just with a close relationship with you, and Lord, that as we finish this year, that we'd be found faithful to all that you've given to us, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.